Pat's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Hour number three is now underway. 251-343-0106. Want to be in touch with the show? All you do is text me. Let me know what is on your mind. Still to come on the program, Dick Brubaker. That's in about 30 minutes from now, so stick around for that. Tim writes this: Jeff, I don't understand why people keep saying Jones is going to give Coach a run for his money. I just don't see it. Your thoughts? I don't see it either. I mean, define run for his money. I think if Tommy Tuberville folded up his tent and just went home, and he'd still win. But there's just not enough Democrat voters in Alabama. But that doesn't mean he doesn't need to campaign, because, and I've been saying this all along, he's got to win by a comfortable margin to show the legislature, to show the Montgomery establishment, to show the bureaucracy that he has a mandate, that this isn't, you know, just, oh, we had to pick somebody, we might as well pick the Republican. No, they want something different. They don't want the hands-off, petty antics of the Ivey administration no longer. It's not just the status quo we're thinking about here. That's what's going. I mean, I don't think he'd ever run for his money just to find that within 5 points. But that's something, you know, that the Tuberville campaign, I hope, addresses and takes seriously. Unnamed texter, Jeff, how could any mother who killed her own children in the manner in which she did not be insane? There has to be some kind of penalty. You know, the intent, the criminal intent. Was she insane? I mean, you and I could talk about this and murder in general, and serial killers and things of that sort, as insane, and they're still found guilty. It's the legal standard we're establishing in this country that is interesting. My concern would be, how do we make sure this doesn't become commonplace? That this is like, you could kill your kid in a postpartum circumstance and say that the postpartum depression made me do it, and be exonerated. We have a mental health deficiency here that has to be addressed. Does the is going at this with the criminal justice system necessarily a deterrent? Maybe it is. Maybe it says, hey, if you're thinking about this, if this is your state of mind, you need to get some help. If you can carry this out in a rational way, but with an insane premise in your head, you need to be cognitively aware that this could happen, and you need to take the appropriate measures. Insanity is a defense. The legal system is using it here. But I would just tell you, I think that these people who are making these policies really need to consider this in the future then. If we're going to find her not guilty by reason of insanity, then address the insanity aspect of it. Now, you know, who knows? If they get this in front of a jury again, did they get the same kind of hung jury? It could have just been a bad jury. But that insanity is a defense doesn't necessarily mean if you're found to be insane that you get to walk free. This is a Time to Kill by John Grisham. And in the story, two like horrible human beings, racist, they rape a little girl, a black little girl, and the dad takes justice into his own hands. He kills them in the court. He hides out in the courthouse overnight. And then when they're coming to have their arraignment hearing, he kills them. And the prosecution has to charge him. It's murder. It's a very touchy subject. There's an element of, we can't have vigilante justice in America. His defense was a temporary insanity. That was the defense. And in this novel, it works. Does it work in this circumstance? That's a work of fiction. But they roll out all the experts and is temporary insanity. Otherwise, you look at it and you think, well, this can't ever happen again. And it's relatable. I think the postpartum depression aspect is relatable to a lot of women, and they're allowing that to kind of override what's the technical definition of justice. But if we're going to, as a society, or maybe even a state of Massachusetts, Commonwealth of Massachusetts is going to say, This seems plausible. What are you going to do to correct it? I think the case has problems. Like I said, I thought they didn't overcharge. They did what they thought was right. But they overcharged in the sense of what they could get a conviction on in that jury pool. And the way people think now in 2026 in certain places in this country. But as we could see, like the national reaction to it and just these insane conclusions, there's people who believe, who think this way, who are in the jury pool, you know, anywhere in America and could be on a jury. And you could get mistrials. If this happens again and you get the right jury pool. Well, then we can't have this happen again. What are we going to do to fix it, to remediate the problem? Gene, making excuses for a lot, do nothing party that attacks women, children, the poor, the elderly is comical. Thank you for your contribution, Gene. I'm sure you feel better about yourself now. Unnamed texter, don't you think the priorities for a better future are the debt resolution and environmental awareness for addressing climate change, which could be an economy of its own? No. Debt, yes. Climate change is dead. I mean, it's just people. That's never going to be a wholesale thing. Unless there's actual glaciers melting and New York City is flooded. But even if you deep down believe that anthropogenic climate change is a thing, man calls global warming is a thing, the vast majority of Americans don't. This isn't impacting my daily life. You want to make my life harder for this sort of theory? I don't feel any different. The summers are hot. The winters are cold. We have natural disasters. And unless it impacts people personally, directly, I don't think climate change is a winning issue, you know, in any degree. And it's kind of co-opted. The problem with the climate change, the tree hugger, do-gooder they're trying to co-opt it and do more with it. Like, you know, a Green New Deal. Well, okay, do we care about climate change, or are we trying to push this like a social justice narrative? Are we trying to implement some things that are kind of ancillary to climate change and the environment? Because there's a lot of that in this movement, that it doesn't just stop at lower carbon emissions. It wants to take poverty, the impoverished who vote Democrat, and give them handouts. That it's more, there's more to it. And they text, restriping the Bayway is not going to speed up traffic through the tunnel. ALDOT needs some engineers or brains. Really, what's that about the tunnel? It's about the bridge. Once the bridge is completed and you get off the bridge and you're on the Bayway, it's not about the tunnel at all. And the bridge is going to be three lanes in two directions. It's going to be a six-lane bridge. As it transitions from the bridge to the Bayway, you're going to, you know, as it's currently constituted, it would go from three lanes over the bridge to two lanes. You'd have this merging delay, this bottleneck. So ALDOT, not in a place where it could build a new bridge or a new Bayway, I should say, what do we do here? And the idea here, rather than build a new Bayway, which is going to have to be done eventually, for the time being, restripe it for three lanes all the way across to Daphne. It's not about the tunnel. It's about moving traffic off the bridge, the new bridge that will be built. Troy, hey, Jeff. 2016, I built a home for the fruit nut on Pinterest. There was... when I got a face full of Hillary Clinton for president yard signs at a snobbery from the old school locals. After 11 months, I had enough of those people, built another house elsewhere in Fairhope. I don't think it's across the board. Fruit Nut is a entirely liberal enclave. This is my neighborhood. There are pockets of it. There are individual homes, individual people who have these strident beliefs, who hang out at Page and Pallet, who show up at city council meetings and want to change the world with the local government. And there's some of that on the right. But I don't think it's just what it is. It's kind of alien to Alabama. And for whatever reason, there's a density there, a concentration of some of the pseudo-intellectualism that kind of exists on the left. And I'm telling you, I find it to be just like knee-jerk, pseudo-intellectual, do-gooder, virtue signaling. By people who are just, their sensibilities are offended by Donald Trump, they're offended by Republicans. They got their blinders on, and they see the contradictions, and there are contradictions abound. And that to them is justification for doing what they do. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. And pretty soon I'm wondering. To the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday morning. Tomorrow on the program, April Marie Fogle will be with us, as well as our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Joining us a day early, has, I think, some kind of obligations dealing with the convention in Dallas. So we were able to move the schedule around. But you want to tune in for that segment tomorrow, because Senator Elliott's got, he's going to roll out one of his ideas about the Bayway and the bridge and the toll, and how to ease the burden on that. Ben writes, should a senator whose spouse works for a major house builder be pushing a housing bill? Probably not. I don't know. I know you're talking about Katie Britt and her husband being employed by 68 Ventures. For me to make a definitive rule, I mean, does the housing bill help 68 Ventures? And I think these are two separate things. There's some shades of gray there, but a fair point. Butter and I, Trump right now is trying to play a role how much everything's going to cost. He's hurting farmers by doing this. He's hurting the cattle industry by doing that. He's having the DOJ look at the companies because of the price of gas and diesel because of the war. Alabama has the ABC board. We have elected Republican leadership that wants to roll everything in everything. So why not have them fix housing also? One last thing. How much money do you think Trump has made the last 6 months with his early paid subscription for True Social? Trump and his family do seem to be the biggest winners of this administration. I don't know. I think there's probably some bigger winners. I mean, Trump's a small-time player in the world of high finance. He always was. He was a real estate guy. He wasn't he's a wealthy man. But government policy, it's not necessarily how it impacts one person. It's more about the bigger entities and stock prices and equities and things like that. So, the Trump business being run by his children, I don't, you know, that's sort of one of the things you have to except when you elect a multi-billionaire with different businesses. And we, as a voting population, Butter and I seem to have been okay with that. As far as what he's trying to do, my sense of the at least with the beef, it's a short-term fix trying to get prices down before November 3rd. But everybody who's complaining about it is right to do so, because it does not fix the long systemic problem, the long-standing systemic problems. That's Butter Knife writes, he's making money off the decisions he's making for the government. Does not seem to be an issue for Republicans. Precisely what? Exactly what, Butter Knife? Or, is it just your sense of things? Roy! Still considering write-in for governor and lieutenant governor will be Alabamian. Tim, Jeff, it seems like everything Aldott touches turns into, you know what, can they do anything right? Maybe we can hire some of the Mississippi DOT. I don't think Aldott it's not functioning at a level that it should be. It's been politicized. They talk about taking the politics out of roads and bridges, but all they've done, this is the biggest myth about the way we do infrastructure in this state. You take it out of the realm of the politics, out of the legislature's hands. You say, well, we don't want to mix politics with road building. But you're not taking the politics out. You're centralizing the politics. You're giving one political entity the sole discretion of borrowing, of building, of transportation policy. The legislative branch has nothing to say here. They can't mandate a road be built in their district. Or they could, but they won't, because they say, well, you don't want to politicize it. But the politics are there. It's just how centralized do you want them to be? We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Text line, get in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Time permitting, I'll get to your text. Joining us now, as we've been previewing all throughout the program, former State Senator Dick Brubaker joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I am doing great. It's a beautiful day. Heading to the farm. Got two grandkids in the back. We're going to catch the biggest catfish in Alabama here in about an hour.
Sounds like you're living the life. Someday I hope to be, I hope I can be in a place where I could do some of that. Hey, you mentioned this last time you were on, and it's really starting to hit home a little bit. I mean, some of the polling, but just in general, and it's not just Tommy Tuberville. It's after Labor Day. I feel like Republicans have got to get it in gear now, that especially in that congressional district you're in AL2, some of the polling is a little troublesome with Rhett Marcus and Shamari Figures. But,
well, of course it is. I mean, if you're an independent, Rhett's got to give independents a reason to vote for him.
Well, I mean, it just doesn't feel like there's much going on here. And let me talk about that. You know, just to some degree, this isn't 2022. It's not a Biden presidency, an unpopular in Alabama, knee-jerk Republican reactionary cycle. Republicans should do well. But I think if you want Republicans to really take hold of this political atmosphere and have real substantive change, they can't just win in these squeakers.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. The philosophical conservatives, I'm not talking about the MAGA people, but just the small government, personal liberty wing of the party, they're rather disillusioned with, except for Tommy Tuberville. They, you know, most of them, see, and I agree, I think Tuberville's a small government, pro-family guy, but most of the other Republicans in power, including Rhett Marcus, just haven't blown anybody's skirt up. And the fact that they're not campaigning, they're not out there trying to earn votes, it makes people, I don't know, maybe they just think they're so entitled that they're going to win anyway. And maybe they will. But I got news for you. District 2, Shamari's got a well-funded, competent political ground game going, and Rhett Marcus does not, at least not at this moment. Now, I know he got millions and millions of dollars that he spent in the winner-take-all primary, but he spent, what, $10 million to get 32,000 votes. I mean, that's not going to cut it in a general election. I mean, these guys got to get on their horses and start riding, or they're going to lose some elections.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it's just there's a lot of headwinds here, and if everything kind of comes together, Shamari Figures feasibly could squeak it out. And let me say this about him: he's very charismatic. I think he, you know, at least aesthetically, kind of fits the bill of he seems qualified for the job, and he's going up to it matters in AL2, but where it also matters, and I think this is where he's really making some headway, Senator. He's going to these guys in D.C., and, you know, the Democrats are strapped for cash right now. They just did not manage their money real well. But...
yeah, to say the least.
He's going to these people say, I can win this race. And he's making a compelling case to say, hey, this would be something to really generate a lot of excitement for Democrats heading into November of 2028.
That I can
win this race. I could stave off Republican attempts to redistrict and pick up a seat here. Get on board.
Well, I'm going to say something. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not running for office, and I'm as concerned. I'm one of the most conservative Republicans in this state. So I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, if you go around District 2 and talk to mayors, They're the people who deal most with the federal government. They think Figures has done a pretty good job. When their small towns have called Congressman Figures' office to ask for help, he's made sure that help is. What I'm saying is that when Shabari Figures goes around and pitches people saying, I'm a good congressman, I can win this thing. And when his opponent, Brett Marcus, you know, let's face it, on primary day, half the Republicans that voted did not want Rhett to be their guy. And I'm telling you, Rhett can win this race, but he needs to start trying to win it. It's not just going to fall into his hands. Shabari Figures has done a good job as congressman, and he could win this race if the Republicans don't start taking him seriously.
Yeah, and I don't know what Republicans, the infrastructure, the entity, the Republican Party is doing here yet. Maybe it's just we just need to give it time. But the clock is ticking.
Well, how much time have you got? Labor Day is come and gone.
Right.
And they don't have, you know, if Rhett Marcus and people and the other Republicans don't have their ground games in place, their county chairman already selected, and people out there working, you're not going to win this race, in my opinion, just by going to the, you know, Barber County Republican Committee. You're going to have to dig a little deeper than that, because Republican turnout, frankly, in my opinion, because of the terrible behavior of our Republican legislature, has been declining. I mean, look at the primary.
Well,
6% turnout?
Who is getting up? And I know there's other things on the ballot. But who's getting up on November 3rd excited to go vote for Rhett Marcus? What is he giving voters in that district that are Republican? They're all like-minded.
Well, he gave them a lot of things. He gave them a Veterans Affairs, not run by veterans anymore. He took away their right to vote, elect the PSC. He raised their taxes. What more could you want?
It's just to me that, and I think this is kind of true for Tommy Tuberville, but I think Tuberville has some things he could start talking about to get people interested.
I don't think that's true for Tuberville. The only thing that Tuberville's talked about that surprised me was the data centers. But his record in Congress as a maverick, in my opinion, speaks for himself. Alabamians love that sort of thing. And I think...
Well, I mean, when I talk about it, you talk about it, let's boil it down to like a state level. And you start talking about like privatizing the ABC. You get to the bottom of the prison problem. You talk about the constant log jams on our interstate highways in rural areas. It just seems crazy. And... like, that gets people excited. He hasn't done that yet. But I think...
No, he has not done that. You're right.
I think there's a ceiling, there's a higher ceiling for Tommy Tuberville. What is Rhett Marcus... What is Rhett Marcus going to roll out to say, you know, I was kind of lukewarm on him, but now he's kind of got me excited. I would have put one of his signs in my front yard. I like this guy because there's nothing there.
Well, you know, what are you going to get? And maybe this is the plan. The only thing for sure, if Rhett Marcus gets elected, he will owe Katie Britt his seat in Congress. And that'll be the bottom line.
Well, I mean, she's...
Do you disagree?
No, not at all. I think she's kind of... That's her game here, though, right?
Have some right, that is exactly her game. And I think that if she wants to achieve that, she needs to get her campaign people, and Lord knows, Senator Britt has great campaign people. She needs to get them buzzing in Brett's ear and get him off the dime, or Shabari Figures may beat him.
Well, it's her people that are running the show there. I mean, we talk about Angie Horn a lot, but it's she's got Sean Ross, you know, her chief of staff, used to be a regular guest on this show. So are Cozart. You got these people who are kind of in that Britt world working for Rhett Marcus, and like I said, though, there's nothing there that's like, wow, you know, this guy really speaks to the sensibilities enough to get Republican voters out. And that's
the problem. This is where it all comes back to haunt you. If you are a member of the legislature and you decide, I'm just going to be a corporatist legislator, I'm going to do what Blue Cross, Alabama Power, the Big Mules want me to do, and I'm just not going to worry about what families want too much. I'm not going to talk about what families want. I'm going to talk about economic development, nothing else. Well, when you got to go out and get votes from regular working Alabamians, they don't know who you are, and you haven't given them. I mean, let's face it. If I was Shamari Figures, I would be going, sending proxies to every veterans organization in District 2 and making sure they understand that the Republicans, including Rhett, voted to take Veterans Affairs away from veterans and give it to a political appointee. I mean, veterans, when they understand that, really don't like that.
Well, let me say this real quick, because to Rhett Marcus's credit, he voted against. Well, no, he voted for that. He voted against the PSC.
They voted for that. You're damn right he voted for that.
He's taken, but he hasn't really taken these bold, strong stands. You know, I just like, I'm just kind of the guy, and we know how this plays out. If he does get elected, he is just there's no reason to get excited. He's not going to take bold stands. He's just going to be kind of a cog in the machinery.
Well, and that's the problem. And, you know, one thing about whether you love Barry Moore or don't like Barry Moore, one thing about it, you know how you feel about it. Because he was not, when he was in Congress, you know, he was not just one more guy up there slinging hash. You know, he always had something going on he was trying to do. And and Rhett needs to try to generate some of that energy. If you elect me to Congress, here's what I'm going to do, and this is why it matters to the kitchen table for a normal Alabama family. And this is why you should trust me. And I just don't hear that message. All I got during the primary were mailers from the Marcus campaign telling me how he lowered my taxes, which is not strictly true.
No, he voted to raise some taxes.
And stuff like that bugs people, especially people that listen to the Jeff Poor Show and are a little bit plugged in.
Well, yeah, well, we're in the first district, though, but, like, he didn't do well here. He got beat by Jerry Carl.
Well, let's face it. You know, there weren't very many votes cast in that winner-take-all primary, but he only got half of them, and he spent $10 million or some ridiculous figure like that. And his next, the guy that came in second, spent $251,000.
It's an air.
It's an air bomb,
you know, sort of strategy.
He only got 50.3% of the vote. And after spending 20 times more money than anybody else, that's concerning.
It would
concern me.
I just think there's an enthusiasm gap. We know there's Democrat enthusiasm right now, you know, for better or for worse, Donald Trump and the redistricting decision. The headwinds are there. And
oh, by the way, the redistricting decision was exactly the right decision. I mean, you know, the Democrats' position on redistricting is they should be able to gerrymander all they want to, but Republicans shouldn't be able to draw districts and preserve one man, one vote. I mean, it's just, you know, the Democrats' position on this whole redistricting thing is absurd.
It is, but it resonates. And there are people in this state and AL2 who disagree with it, and it's going to be what motivates them to vote. What motivates?
Yeah, because, they're for anything that disenfranchises conservative white voters.
Yeah, but their vote counts as much as Dick Brubaker's. That's the problem.
No, they want it to count more. They want it to take about 110 Dick Brubakers to have as much political influence as only 100 Democrats. That's why they keep, when they draw our districts, Republican districts always have the legal limit on the high side.
Right.
And the Democrat district is always 10% below.
But for the sake
of
this,
they're trying to disenfranchise white people.
For the sake of this discussion, though, as it pertains to this November 3rd election, they're fired up about it. They believe they're in the right. They're going to go out and vote because they think this is a grave injustice. And there's what's the counter to that? Where's Rhett Marcus?
Yeah, well, the counter is, I would say if I was Rhett Marcus, I'd be out there talking about one man, one vote. because that's what the Democrats have abandoned, the idea of one man, one vote. Yeah. All of their redistricting plans seek to as long as the districts are equal numerically, you can defend them, in my opinion. But when you start saying a district we draw to elect a Democrat is going to have 90% of the people in it, you know, compared to a Republican district, you know, you've just disenfranchised 10% of the vote in the other district.
Right.
Well, and that's not right. I don't care what your beef is.
Sure, but
if you believe in voting equality, how can you defend that?
They will, and they will point to slavery and the civil rights era, saying that this is payback for that. But that is,
Can we talk about one other thing? Do we have any time?
Real quick.
They're about to execute a guy that was sentenced under judicial override, which you know no longer exists. Kay Ivey abolished the practice. And there's a lot of people very concerned that we're still going to execute a guy based on a law that Kay Ivey signed the repeal of. And I don't know if you ever want to get your people, don't want to talk about it on air at any time, but even for a pro-death penalty guy like me, I am a little bit concerned about this one.
Yeah, I think overriding a jury is always taboo. Hey, Senator, sorry, we got to get out of here.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
But thanks for hopping on. Former State Senator Brubaker there. We got to get a break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. A ragged rebel flag flies high above it all. In the wind like an angry cannonball. Now, halls of history.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Wednesday morning. Tomorrow on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott, April Marie Fogle, and a guest to be named later. Jason writes, crazy or not, there's a growing loss for the respect of children's life in America. We see it playing out in this case. Unnamed texture out on has taken 3 years to build an overpass less than 3 football fields length in North Huntsville. Project's been delayed over 20 years. Maybe Huntsville and Mobile should secede. Ultra Runner, you smacked down on Gene, made me laugh. Someone recently advised you to take more compassionate tone with your textures. And you explained why the left can't do talk radio. Perhaps part of the problem is the left has no alpha males. They vilify masculinity. Besides Rachel Maddow and AOC, who are the less top alpha males? Scrovereen, in the mornings when I go to a particularly popular Fairhope spot, I see guys with Confederate flags on their truck and women with stickers like Resist and whatnot, along with Jehovah Witnesses set up. Of course, they all are not out there arguing and fighting, but they get along, getting in each other's faces. Does that make sense, especially with the liberal, less genuine, are just sensible? It's probably just a willingness to agree to disagree. Rick, after all, Nashville, okay, we're kind of running out of time here. Coming up here shortly, midday, Mobile. Sean, what you got?
You know, what's interesting is when people have political disagreements but do it in person, how much more civil it is than online where they're, you know, they hide behind a keyboard or something like that. I mean, I think that's what drives this. And I think what messes up is people live in that world, that online world, and then take that to the streets, and that's when people get, you know, some hands.
Well, just
thrown.
Imagine you're like you're a mid-level reporter for a national news organization, and you don't get outside of Manhattan, you don't get outside of Washington D.C., you don't get outside of L.A. You kind of rely on the online antics as your barometer.
Yeah, you think that's people talking. That's regular people, and it's not.
It's not real life. It's not at all. I mean, people acknowledge their political differences, but it's not the top thing they care about. I mean, you know, there's other things in life.
Yeah, and speaking of which, here's my perfect segue in hour number two of Midday Mobile. I saw James Spann, who's been on the show with us a couple times, you know, weatherman extraordinaire, good guy, he posted something up where he does a bunch of social media, and he did it on TikTok, and he just got assailed from people on TikTok to the point that he's now shutting down his TikTok and going back to the staying on the other platforms. But he's kind of ripped on that. He and I are going to talk about that. Plus this thing I call weather porn out there, where, you know, people will be said to be messages saying, Dr. Bill's not talking about the Arctic blast that's supposed to be at the end of September. I'm like, because it doesn't show it. You know, because somebody on Facebook got on there and said it, so people want that, and it's not actually true.
Well, people are very hard on meteorology, you know, just because it's all theoretical and they computer model it, but it doesn't actually, acts of God are not that predictable sometimes.
That's correct. So, you know, I'll talk about that. Also, I got Cameron Smith joining me, Erica Thomas, and Joshua Givens, too, as the talk some Buffett with the big opening going on this weekend coming up. That's all on today's Midday Mobile.
All right, y'all stay tuned for that. I got to get out of here. My time is up. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.